Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. You ever get that feeling? The walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to what we'll call a special episode of the Hunting Collective. I'm Ben O'Brien, and today we are sitting in the Meat Eater offices in Bozeman, Montana, and I'm joined by Sam Lundgren and our director of fishing here at Meat Eater, Miles Nolte. It's his first appearance on the podcast. And the reason we wanted to get this one out to you guys is because something pretty substantial is happening in our world, and that is the passage of Bill S-47 in the House of Representatives. It's called the Natural Resource Management Act. This bill passed by a margin of 363-62. What will be on Tuesday afternoon, February 26th. And we wanted to turn on C-SPAN and try to be entertained, which we knew would be tough, and talk about this bill as it was discussed on the floor of the House and then voted on, which turned out to be a great result. So we had a few guests, Steve Klein of TRCP and Lan Tawney of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, who have worked on and championed this bill, to talk about what's good, what's bad, what needs improved, what is there to celebrate. But suffice to say, a lot of people that care about conservation worked hard on this piece of legislation, and we believe overall it's a good thing, although we will go over some of the more negative aspects of the bill and the way our politics work. So hopefully you enjoy this special episode of the Hunting Collective, straight from Bozeman, Montana. Hey, boys. How's it going, Miles?
Fantastic, Ben. How are you?
I'm swimming. Sam Lundgren is also here.
Howdy.
And we are watching currently, this is part of our Make C-SPAN Great Again segment of the podcast, where we try to make C-SPAN exciting again. But
they're not making it easy on
us. They're not making
so
it easy. Like the brown leather and just the boring suits. I think one guy's sleeping. Is that a guy sleeping? He woke up. He's up.
He's up. No, because he's got a body slam to do.
Yeah. He's up.
He's getting ready to take somebody down.
He's up. We are watching the members, some of the selected members of the U.S. House of Representatives. They are speaking on a pretty important package of legislation that affects us all. It's the National Resources Management Act, better known as S-47 in our parlance. And they are right now talking through the benefits of the bill and are about to, Sam, vote on it, correct?
I believe so.
You've covered this for themeateater.com. You came to us from BHA. You spent a lot of time in the conservation world. Kind of give us a rundown of what this bill is and kind of what it means as you know it.
Yeah. You know, and as I followed this, I feel like it's become harder and harder to parse exactly what it means. There's 110 pieces of legislation in here, 700 pages of text. I mean, the big headline that everyone's focused on is the reauthorization of the Land and Water Conservation Fund.
Sure.
That's the big ticket item. That's the, you know, the popular program that's been around for 53 years that takes royalties from oil and gas drilling in the Gulf of Mexico and reinvests that money into public access, everything from playgrounds and inner cities to wilderness trailheads.
In fact, there's a playground here in town that my son has played at before, that there's a little sign that says this was brought to you by the Land and Water Conservation Fund.
You know, it's cool. You see those little placards in a lot of places once you kind of know where to look for them. But it's an enormously popular program. It's been used in nearly every county within the United States. So everybody gets a little piece of it. So that's great to see. It was it lapsed in its authorization since September.
Yep.
So there's been multiple millions of dollars that were earmarked for conservation that were instead diverted to the general fund.
Yeah.
So great to see LWCF permanently reauthorized, although this bill does not include automatic annual appropriation for LWCF. The original text of the bill included $900 million annually. It has only received full appropriation
twice. Two times.
And on average, it's less than half.
And twice, we're talking about since 1964.
Yeah.
So it's not like this just happened a few years ago and it's only been fully funded twice.
Yeah, and what we're really punching for here is like it to be funded in full in perpetuity. Like that's what we're really swinging for here.
And not to have to every single year come back and have a fight
reappropriate
about how much are we
going
to give to this.
Yeah.
And do you feel, you know, either you guys or we can just discuss this. It's like the advantage to having it to reappropriating every year is that money can be stolen from it and give it to other things. I mean, it is in a lot of politicians' best interest to make this malleable and to not fully fund it forever.
Yes. But, you know, a lot of the supporters of LWCF are in the Senate especially are already talking about permanent funding. So further legislation will likely follow this.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things, it's a very popular
Well, it is now.
Program.
I got to say, I think one of the big wins that we've had, and I think BHA can take some credit for this among other groups. I don't mean to single them out just because Sam's in the room here and I know he worked on it a lot, but you know, I remember 5 years ago sitting around talking about how do we make the LWCF sound cool.
Yeah,
you know, working with the media company that I was working with at the time and really trying to come up with these very creative ways to let people know about it. I feel like now anybody who's engaged in outdoor pursuits is aware of the LWCF, at least on a basic level, and is having these conversations, which is why we're seeing this kind of legislation come up. So I think a lot of this has to do with just folks like us putting pressure on our representatives and being educated.
Yeah, and I mean, it speaks to the power of what we can do here. And it's the power of us, is if you would call us a constituency, like a collective hunting and fishing constituency. Like you know, as we saw, we had a representative from Colorado just stand up and read off all of all that outdoor recreation does for his state. You know, we do, in a lot of ways, wield a pretty heavy stick here that we can use any way we want. And it is a great, you know, as worrisome as sometimes trends can be in our space, it's great to know that the LWCF is trending because it's important. But what we'll try to get to is we're watching Representative Harold Rogers from the 5th District of Kentucky, a Republican, talk about this bill. If he doesn't look like a congressman through and through. Look at him. If he doesn't, he looks like a little bit like, if he had a mustache, maybe Colonel Sanders.
That's one hell of a plaid suit, I got to say.
I know. Well
I
done.
Get one of those.
Like he just looks like, if you were to pick a guy out of a lineup to put in that room in front of that microphone, he would be it.
Yeah, and he's talking about a pretty interesting element of this public lands package. Some of the national historic sites and national monuments that are being created through this legislation, which Miles and I were just commenting before, truly have nothing to do with hunting or fishing or public lands, really. I mean, he's talking about preserving a battlefield from the Civil War, which is great. I'm a huge fan of history, but it feels a little tangential to a Natural Resources Management Act.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to, we always get in a lot of these situations, we get so caught up in exactly what we want out of this. But I mean, this is a varied piece of legislation. In fact, I'll get to come up here. I'll read to you kind of the way this is broken down about what this bill specifically addresses. And if I lose my breath and pass out, somebody pick it up. Specifically, this bill addresses, among other matters, land conveyances, exchanges, acquisitions, withdrawals, and transfers, national parks, monuments, memorials, wilderness areas, wild and scenic rivers, historic and heritage sites, and other conservation and recreation areas, wildlife conservation, helium extraction, small minor waivers of claim maintenance fees, wildland fire operations, the release of certain federal revisionary land interests, boundary adjustments, the Denali National Park and Preserve National Gas Pipeline, fees for medical services and units of the National Park System, funding for the Land and Water Conservation Fund, recreational activities on federal and non-federal lands, a national volcano early warning and monitoring system, federal reclamation projects, and search and recovery missions. In addition, the bill reauthorizes the historically black colleges and universities' historic preservation program and the National Cooperative Geologic Mapping Program. The fucking end. That's
Ben,
a lot.
Take a breath. You're going to pass out.
No, you cheated. I heard you breathe.
You did? All right.
Yeah.
Damn. All right. We did
it.
We did
get a little red in the face.
We did. I'm hot about this issue. But that goes to show you, like, as we were thinking about sitting down to record this, as we, you know, I think fittingly, as we watched the U.S. House discuss this bill, everyone should know that, you know, all those things are covered, and there's 110 pieces to cover them. So it's impossible for us to provide full perspective. I think a lot of the members of the House probably couldn't provide full perspective if you asked them.
Probably not.
I think that's a safe bet.
We're going to do our best here to address it. Now, what's going on now? What's this fella doing right here?
Oh, I don't know. Should we turn on the sound?
Yeah, let's turn on the sound and hear what he's saying. You say the Crooked River Ranch Fire Protection Act is what he's talking about.
Yep, I think this is easement.
This is
almost as riveting as the discussion of the Bolt Ditch.
Let's go ahead and mute it.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah.
Part of what we want to do is just discuss this while these guys are talking about very specific and to us, you know, tangential and maybe even boring things, which this one seems to be. But it's you know, we're not going to make C-SPAN that exciting. It's impossible.
No, I mean, this is sort of the beauty of how this process works, right? Yeah. Each individual representative is looking out for the interest of his or her people and is trying to get their voices heard.
Some might call that pork barrel politics.
I think it manifests in pork barrel politics, but I think the concept of them looking out for their own people's interest is a good one.
You're right.
I think sometimes the way that gets used is a little bit. Yeah, we can be cynical about that.
The way this is presented, you're looking at like local, not even regional. I mean, local initiatives that are you know, pressed into this bill, and each one of these representatives are very, you know, can go back to their district and constituency and say, look what I got you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I didn't mean to come across as negative about that. I'm all in favor of our representatives representing us. And it's, you know, it's great. Like, every piece of this legislation goes back so far. I mean, most of this dates back 4 or 5 years that this package has been in the works. But you look at some of these wilderness areas specifically. I mean, it's been a 30 or 40 year process of localized support and collaboration for creating wilderness areas.
Yeah.
So that's great to see come to fruition. And a lot of that just kind of gets lost in the noise of everything else going on. But there's a lot of people who are really celebrating their individual part of this.
Yeah. And it's hard. You know, like it's hard. I mean, it's hard to parse all this out, to make it relate to all of us. I mean, but that's, you know, part of politics, and that's part of why the House of Representatives has many members. They took him away. Who's up now? We're back.
Grijalva's back up.
Yep. And he's given up 2 minutes.
Who's he yielding to?
Michigan.
This is Dingell, Representative Dingell.
I'm not touching that.
They called her a gentle woman. Well, she seems gentle. She's a
She said strong support of the Natural Resources Management Act. I'm reading off the closed caption. Riveting, I know.
Once again.
I know.
Democracy in action.
Democracy in action. Now, let's talk about, you know, one, and to come to this conversation, we wanted to cover a little bit about, like, what is there precedence for these types of things? And if there is, kind of what has been the result of past packages of legislation that that passed in this way? What do you guys got? Anything good?
Yeah,
you found?
I mean, this is related to the, and I've got this whole C-SPAN thing playing on my screen, so I don't get to look at all the news sites I had pulled up. But this does have precedent in the 2009 Omnibus Public Lands Package
Management Act. Yep.
Damn it.
Everything's a Management Act.
Yeah, everything.
Of course it is.
Yeah,
it's all Management Acts.
Yeah, so this does happen from time to time. I know a lot of the bills contained in here had been packaged before in something called the Sportsman's Act, which famously passed the Senate, I believe, a couple times, but never was really able to advance to law. So this kind of thing has occurred before. It seems that when they do public land legislation, they like to do a pile of it at once.
Yeah.
But it is a little bit concerning that the last time this happened was 10 years ago.
Yes. Yes. Dingle is going hard on the Land and Water Conservation Fund. Appreciate you, Dingle.
I think that it's also important to recognize that just part of the reason that it has been a decade is that we are living in a climate where anything that has to do with wilderness or conservation is really charged and really problematic. So even good ideas end up getting scuttled just even if they might have bipartisan support simply because of the polarity of our legislative bodies right now.
Yeah.
And so the fact that this did go over as swimmingly as it did in the Senate, that's news in and of itself, right?
Yeah, it is.
92-8 passage is something to look at. And if I'm going to be totally honest, also makes me skeptical.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm going to be really honest about it,
I would agree. Skeptical. I'm skeptical about all this. I mean, I'm skeptical about our government and we're having somebody step down. Somebody come back up. Anyway, this is fun trying to bounce this back and forth.
Squirrel.
Ah, somebody, an old man.
Another old man.
Two old men. We should just make stuff up. They're fighting. that would make it the only thing to make it
kung fu on the house floor.
If we backed this
once
off,
again, we're back on Gianforte, so it might happen.
Yeah,
we're back there. Look at him. So if we backed this bill up a little bit, and we said, "Hey, how did this start?" You know, we give the precedence of, you know, these issues have been inserted into legislation or brought to bear politically in a lot of different ways, and then they get packaged up into one big thing, right? And this the effort was led, you know, you said in your article, Sam, I'm looking at it right now, Senators Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, she happens to be a Republican, and Maria Cantwell from Washington happens to be a Democrat. They led this bill. Sam, give people just a little bit of rundown of exactly how that comes to be, or how you know it coming to be. And then if you want to skip over that part, you maybe don't know that part, then take me right to the vote that happened in the Senate, because that's really what we want to...
Yeah, well, I mean, the way it comes to be is through concessions and collaboration, I suppose, would be a more positive way to spin that. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, it's not that, you know, any particular congressman forgot about how much they hated wilderness or or public lands in general. But, I mean, you see their piece of the pie come into the equation here.
Yeah.
So there are quite a few public land transfers, for example. So, you know, it is still spectacular and admirable that 92 senators were able to vote for anything, truly, especially, you know, something as a piece of legislation as immense as this one. But it also, you know, that means we're going to have to take the good with the bad. And, you know, so you asked about Lisa Murkowski and Maria Cantwell. You know, a big piece of this for Lisa Murkowski was man, how do you frame this one up, Miles? The 500,000 acres of Alaska, of public lands within Alaska that could be potentially removed from the public estate. I hate to throw you a bad pass here.
No, this is, I'll take it. I'll take this one on because it's nearly impossible to come out against that provision without sounding like a horrible person.
Right.
But I'm going to take a stab at it.
Yeah.
Because I'm willing to
That's
do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got you on backup here, but it's difficult to explain, and I still don't entirely understand.
Yeah, and I'm not going to claim that I have full understanding either, but I have some understanding, and I'm willing to take this on. So, to my understanding, we've all seen different figures in terms of the total possible land allocation, but somewhere around 500,000 acres in Alaska that is currently all of our land because it's public will be distributed in 160-acre parcels to Native Vietnam veterans
and their heirs.
Exactly.
Or their heirs.
Yes. Yeah. Not and. It has to be one or the other.
Yes.
And it's very difficult to come out and say that you're opposed to something that is going to give benefits to Native Vietnam veterans. And I hate to be the person to say that, but I think that, there again, the cynic in me sees this as a way to open up tons of undeveloped land to development, because it's not like those parcels are going to be doled out and then just sit idle. There's a very good chance that they'll be sold off, that they'll be developed, that they'll be privatized in other ways, and they might be sold off in mass to mineral development companies. And we're talking about breaking up some of the best habitat that's left in North America.
And to be fair, it specifically excludes national parks, national forests, which is a great deal of Alaska, and national wildlife refuges. It permanently excludes Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, but the other 15 national wildlife refuges in Alaska, which are massive. Kodiak Island is a national wildlife refuge, but that is to be reconsidered in a year. So potentially some of these claims, if you know, things go the way I think some people want them to, potentially these claims could be made within national wildlife refuges.
Yeah, I mean, this just goes to the, you know, we have up on the, we were writing pros and cons on the board here. We have a con that says contains a lot of porky bullshit.
I think that was Miles trying to finish up the list here.
Like, that's it. There's no way we're going to get through all of this. There's no way we're going to get through all of this as it happens. But I mean, that's very true to the point of this just contains a lot. As we go through this, we're watching a representative from California, Katie Hill, is now standing up for the 25th district. This is basically a parade of individuals representing constituencies around the country getting up to say why. She's talking about a dam flooding here. We've had people talking about water resources in Colorado. We've had people standing up and talking about easements. I mean, all of these folks are standing up and saying, I support this because of, you know, the way this benefits my local, right.
Yeah.
Very regional community. Benefit.
And so it just seems like an insane way to approach, you know, it seems like an insane way to approach it to say, and I am happy to see a bunch of people standing up, you know, in Congress and talking about the Land and Water Conservation Fund. But it seems insane to me to say, let's pass this and let's fly the flag because we get the Land and Water Conservation Fund, even if it isn't fully appropriated. And we'll, as a community, nobody's bringing up. I haven't heard of, in our world, in the hunting fishing world, anybody reporting on this pork that's in this bill. And that just seems insane to me. I've seen a lot of people sharing photos supporting that this bill contains the Land and Water Conservation Fund,
mm-hmm.
and it's very positive in that way.
1.3 million acres of wilderness.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of...
I love that.
You know, I love that too.
New Wild and Scenic Rivers, which I'm a huge proponent of.
Yeah. The Frank and Gene Moore Wild Steelhead Special Management Area.
Frank, Gene,
I'm stoked about that. I've been involved in that for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's plenty to be excited about. You know, we wrote pros and cons on the board, and there's a ton up here. Allowing you carry a bow through national parks.
Yeah.
That's in here.
and specifically affirming hunting and fishing as preferred activities on federal public lands. I mean, it does almost nothing, but it sure it sure sounds cool.
Well, it sets an important precedent.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty empty provision in its application. But the fact that it's in there, if there were to be something in the future that tried to take those away, that really solidifies it nicely. So I'm with you. I think practically at this point it has very little impact, but potentially in the future it could.
Yeah, so I guess they say, like, let's color this conversation around that. There is absolutely no way for any one single person to look at this bill and be excited about every single point of it, all 110 elements of it. It's impossible for you not to disagree with something here.
But that's the nature of democracy.
That's how it should be.
Right. So, like, we color it that way. It seems, like, when I say insane, that's probably hyperbole. It seems to me that as we go above this, we say Land and Water Conservation Fund, that's the big pearl here. I agree. But one of the reasons we wanted to record this and watch C-SPAN with you guys, I'm sure a lot of people that are listening to this have already watched hours of C-SPAN today.
I'm sure the whole audience is going to be like, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I saw that. But it is just to kind of help color this a little bit, because sometimes it seems black and white when we celebrate one of the major victories.
Yeah, and I would encourage folks to check out some of the good news coverage that's coming out regarding this, especially High Country News has really taken off the rose-colored glasses to say, hey, hold on, like, you know, this Alaska thing kind of sucks. And you know, it's like, oh, great, all this pork barrel, everybody gets something, but it really fails to address some of the broader public land management issues that we really need to fix. I mean, the system, I don't want to say broken, plenty of people do, but I mean, the system could use some improvement. And unfortunately, when we continuously fail to improve upon the management of our federal public lands, it leaves us all open for the criticism that the federal government from Washington, D.C. is not able to properly manage the hundreds of millions of acres that it possesses in the Western United States, which leads almost naturally to the argument we often try to defeat, that we should transfer management of those federal public lands to state management. So I think we need to see some of these things fixed at some point, or else we're just going to continue to go down this road further and further. I mean, some of those things are, you know, wildfire funding. The Forest Service spends a ungodly proportion of their budget every year on fighting fires I'm watching
Gian Forte.
he hasn't punched anybody yet.
Just maybe it'll get interesting here.
There's a variety of other things that we could wish and hope for, but I'd like to encourage lawmakers to look at these big, you know, systemic issues as well as the minutiae.
O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there, because they're great and they're super friendly and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/meat eater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/meat eater. Pay attention here, because this is a hell of a good service. It's called the Wellness Company. Picture this, okay? You wake up, you got a scratchy throat, you're all congested, you got a runny nose, you got a cough, whatever. And you weigh your options, like you tough it out, get sick, take time off work, try to get a doctor's appointment sometime in the next few months, wait 2 hours at urgent care and sit in a room full of six sick folks, or you
open your medical emergency kit. You match your symptoms to the doctor recommended prescription, and you start on the right meds right away. These medical emergency kits, not a first aid kit, all right? It comes with doctor prescribed meds to treat over 39 medical issues. So, on hand, strong antibiotics for infections of all types. Plus, a doctor's easy guide so you know exactly what to take and when. No waiting to see the doctor, no waiting at the pharmacy. It's all in there. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes. Your kit will be rushed to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/meateater, but you got to use the promo code meateater. That's promo code meateater, okay, at twc.health/meateater. Hey, everybody knows Weber grills. I've been using Weber grills my whole life, and check it out. They got a pellet grill, the Weber Searwood pellet grill. Now, with a pellet grill, you can smoke, roast, and sear, what I like to do, on the same grill. You can go from low and slow, okay, on smoke boost mode, which gives you great smoke at 180 degrees, or crank this thing all the way to a heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone, so you can put more food on the flame. This is my way of bold statement. If I was going to cook roast one way, that's how I like to do it, sear roast. Utilize the smoke boost setting to intensify that smoky flavor. Direct flame cooking creates searing, crisping, and browning. Food is going to look as good as it tastes. This grill gets hot in 15 minutes. Cleanup is easy. Cook confidently with intuitive digital controls at the grill and enjoy the sleek, easy-to-use surface. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood pellet grill.
I'd like to provide a little context on that point that you just made, Sam, because I don't know that everybody who's out there listening understands why I personally, and I think everybody in this room, feels so strongly about the fact that if we transfer federal land to state control, it's going to be problematic. I've had this conversation with a lot of smart people, and I just happen to have done a great deal of research on it. And I don't think that everybody is aware of the difference in state land management versus federal land management in terms of our rights. And the truth is, like it or not, in many cases, state lands are not public lands in the way that you think of them.
In fact, many states specifically, explicitly say that state lands are not public lands.
New Mexico has it on the front page of their website.
So does Arizona.
Yep. So that is a really important distinction I think sometimes gets lost in this. There's an argument, well, they're still going to be public lands. They're just going to be controlled by the people who are more in closer proximity to what's going on and therefore better informed on what
and
needs to be done.
That's an important point. In general, I agree with that.
Yeah, in general, I do too.
I'm a states' rights kind of fella.
Absolutely.
And I agree with that principle, but the difficulty here is to remove that general principle from this instance, from this very important idea. You know, you have to remove yourself from, like, I would blanketly say, like, I feel like the states, you know, are better, in theory, better positioned to manage this stuff, but in practice they are not.
Well, not just in practice, but in law. Yeah. And that's where this, like, gets to be, maybe sometimes people get lost in the weeds on this, but this is a really important point. In many state constitutions, including the constitution of this state we happen to be in right now, it is mandated in the constitution of the state that state lands have to be maximized for profit.
Yes.
Whatever that happens to be, whatever use that happens to be. And I can pretty much guarantee you that maximization is not you and me and everybody else getting to go hunt and fish and appreciate it.
Well, and it's in the job description of the governor and in the state legislature to balance the goddamn budget.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's their job, to balance the budget. And if they see the opportunity to do so with lands that currently we enjoy to recreate on, then that's part of their job to do that.
They'll liquidate those lands quickly. And many states have shown an outright willingness in very recent years of doing that. In, I think, last year, the state of Utah sold some 4,000 acres.
Oh, there's Rob Bishop on
of
the
straight trust land. Speaking of which. Wisconsin's recently liquidated a lot of state trust lands. Oregon tried to sell off 90,000, an entire state forest, recently.
And each state is in a different situation. I mean, the percentage of federally controlled public lands, federally managed public lands, better off, in Utah is exponentially higher than any eastern state, any state on the eastern seaboard, or any state in the south. So they do have that, but that doesn't change the facts. I mean,
yeah.
It doesn't change how, you know, exactly like you said, the laws or the best way to manage that ground. They have a bigger vested interest in how this turns out, whether it's transferred to the state or whether it's state and federal control, because there's more land, public lands currently, but it doesn't change the facts.
It does, and it doesn't change the facts in terms of the history.
Yes.
If you look at what's happened, each and all the western states, for the most part, I'm simplifying, but just for the sake of keeping everybody interested, western states at the time stated were granted what are called state trust lands, which have been become state lands. And the purpose of those was to fund the education of the children of the states, which is great. I'm a huge proponent of education, particularly public education.
Need to have it.
All for it. But what that means is that those lands need to be maximized to make that happen. And if you look at the history, they often get sold or they get developed. And if you look at, for example, let's just take one in this region, Colorado, it is legal for someone to privately lease state lands as their own hunting and fishing camp.
Yeah.
And that's not something I think we want to see happen to the best public lands all over the place.
Yeah.
We've spoken a lot about the impact of this bill on public lands, which is super important to all of us, and we hope you followed us through some of this context. I think another piece that's in this bill that needs to be recognized, since we're talking about land conservation broadly, is the funding for Partners for Fish and Wildlife program through 2022, whereby you know the federal government partners with private landowners to improve habitat.
Yeah,
and
huge.
And so it's not, I think sometimes we get hammered for only talking about public lands, but there's benefit for private land.
Yeah, I mean, in states like Texas, it's huge.
Huge.
Pittman Robertson funds are going to Texas. Most go to that, what you're talking about, after they get distributed to.
And I believe Texas gets the largest Pittman Robertson allotment than of any state.
It's like $16 million, I think,
yeah,
a year or two ago. All right, we're still watching CNN. We got
C-SPAN.
Or what? Yeah, CNN.
Not CNN.
No, we're not watching
doing
CNN.
That.
I keep
don't
doing
that. Freudian slip.
I love CNN so much. and we're still watching C-SPAN, one of my favorite programs. But we have joining us right now, we have Steve Klein, who's Director of Government Relations. Steve, let me know if I get any of this wrong for the Teddy Roosevelt Conservation Partnership, TRCP is better known. He's joining us now. How's it going, Steve?
It's going pretty good. We'll see in a few minutes if we get this bill across the finish line of the House.
Yeah. How long do you feel like we have until they start to actually give us some real answers?
I think within the hour here, 6 o'clock my time, I think we'll see a vote here soon, and it'll take a little while. We'll have to wait for everybody to come to the floor, but we're pretty confident we're trying to get over 300 votes for this thing and really send a message that these types of issues are profoundly bipartisan and bicameral, and frankly, Congress needs to do more of it.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about what, you know, as we explain kind of what we're watching here. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what today means, what's happening right now means, and kind of where it would lead. Give us a quick rundown from your perspective of what this all is aiming towards.
Sure. So what we're seeing the House do today is called under suspension of the rules, not to get too technical, but basically this is how the House deals with, quote, sort of non-controversial legislation. And it's the way the House names post offices, things of that nature, things that don't have to go through kind of the full amendment process and have broad bipartisan support. So basically what happens is after the Senate moved the bill, which was a product of negotiations falling apart for lack of a vehicle at the end of the year, the House needed to act in a way that didn't change really in any way what the Senate had passed. Because if that happened, then it would have to go back to the Senate and the process would have bogged down, and probably we wouldn't have gotten it done. But the fact that the House is taking this up essentially the same way as the Senate, in the same way as the Senate, and doing it in such a fashion means that this is the last legislative step, so long as the President signs the bill, which we're pretty confident he's going to do, given these margins we expect. That this will become law, and there are no more roadblocks. There doesn't need to be a conference committee. There no further negotiations, just the President signing some legislation.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for that rundown on it. Do you anticipate there being any dissent on the House floor?
I think there will be votes against the bill, sure. There are folks that oppose the permanent reauthorization of LWCF on not on the grounds of what LWCF does, but just on the philosophy of permanent reauthorizations in general. There are some folks that are probably upset that something they really wanted to get is not in this package, or maybe some people that are complaining about the process. But I've been watching this now. I know you guys have been watching it as well. Not a single member has come to the floor and opposed the bill or talked in opposition to the bill during this time for debate. So I think that's really meaningful, and I think we're going to have a real strong vote count here shortly.
Well, great. That's good to hear. As we go through this, we're watching it on closed captions as we kind of discuss the content of the bill, which is weirdly difficult to to do. But it seems like they're saying many of the same things, Republican and Democrat.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, as I said at the outset, there's something in this thing for basically everybody. A lot of things that have, like, for instance, Rob Bishop mentioned, Ranking Member Bishop mentioned, that a lot of the bills that they're passing today have, on the suspension calendar, have already passed as individual bills on the suspension calendar, and they've had to be packaged up because of the Senate process. But, this has been well vetted, well developed, well negotiated for a long time. I mean, some of these provisions have been in the works and in various other packages for 6 years, 8 years, and we're just now finally seeing them get done. I mean, I remember personally working on open and less closed language in the House and Senate back in 2012. And, legislation that is critical for sportsmen, just to make sure that Forest Service can be aligned. The presumption is those places are open to hunters and anglers. And we're going to get that done finally after a long time of being on the radar and on the periphery of success. This thing has been real close 3 or 4 other times and just failed to get there. So I'm pumped.
Yeah, no, we were actually just having that conversation about affirming hunting and fishing rights on federal lands and how that may prove to be important down the road, even if it feels a little bit at the moment like it doesn't impact what we're already doing. I think having that enshrined in law could prove to be very impactful down the line. But my question is just to say, are there aspects of this bill as written that you find concerning?
Yeah, there are a few. I mean, when you've got 600 pages of legislative text and dozens and dozens of individual provisions, there are some one in particular, the Alaska Native Veterans Allotment Bill that we think could have been drafted a little bit better. But I think that's kind of inevitable when you're having a bill like this that has had to get a lot of people's support. And if it was a bill that was perfect and we loved everything in it, we probably wouldn't be sitting here right now. But, when it comes down to the horse trading that happens, bipartisanship means, not everybody's getting everything they want, or no one's getting everything they want, I should say, and that's certainly the case here. So, yeah, there's definitely some provisions that, if we had our druthers, we might not see in this package, but it's part of the process.
Yeah, I mean, for us, we're sitting here trying to, the purpose of us wanting to record a podcast and give you a call and have you be part of the conversation is just simply to better try to understand this package and better try to understand not only what it means in the greater sense or, this celebration we might have, but also to understand where we could do better or what things that we need to understand that might not be aligned with all we feel. Just as a last point, what would you tell hunters and anglers? Again, you said you've been working on this for upwards of a decade, six years or more. What would you tell folks about just the meaning of this? Like, as somebody who works on this day in and day out and has seen some of the struggles, what does this mean to you just personally and professionally?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of things in here that I've worked on for a long time, and a lot of other people, and there's a lot of credit to go around. The one thing that we've learned is, that I've learned personally, is that, you know, tomorrow is a new day. There's some big wins in this package, but we're staring down the barrel of major conservation funding issues in this country. We're staring down the barrel of major wildlife health and habitat issues and access issues. And, you know, in the part of the country where I'm from, which is Maryland, and where I hunt, where access is basically a crisis. And we've got a lot more work to do ahead of us. And as sweet as this victory is, we can't enjoy that victory for too long before we get back to work. And I think sportsmen and men and women that hunt and fish have got to be as active as possible, more active than they've been, and more straightforward with their lawmakers and saying, this, the Land and Water Conservation Fund is a great conservation tool. It is one. It's done now. That does not mean that lawmakers are off the hook for conservation for the next decade. Right? What we can't let happen is for a bunch of lawmakers to come out and say, well, we reauthorized WWCF. That was the conservation ask for this Congress and for this five-year time period. There's much more to do across a wide variety of topics, wildlife health, chronic wasting disease, private lands conservation, Clean Water Act. I mean, there's enough to do here that we can get excited, and I'm going to have a maker's mark tonight when I get home. But tomorrow morning, your TRCP is going to be here working on a lot of other issues that are critical to sportsmen. So get back on your computer and write to your congressman and you know, support your nonprofits that are doing good things for conservation, because there's a lot more to do here.
Yeah, well, Steve, as a fellow Marylander, I appreciate your work. But as a fellow hunter and angler and part of this industry, want to just say we appreciate what you do and your insights. We're going to continue to. We may break out a Maker's Mark or a bourbon at some point here soon. It looks like they're getting close to giving us some real votes on this thing. So we appreciate you joining us and appreciate the work that you do. And we'll talk real soon.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Cool. It's good to have, I just always am appreciative of, we talk a lot here about conservation. We talk a lot about the works that are important, but it's folks like Steve Klein that are in the trenches. You know, when I've talked to guys at the Correctional Sportsman Foundation or people at TRCP or people at BHA, it's always important to recognize the work that they do on our behalf. So we're gonna keep going here. We're watching right now. They're voting an electronic vote, by the looks of it, on terminating border emergency declaration. That's a whole nother topic.
That's a different vote entirely.
We're not gonna touch that with a 10-foot.
Nope. Not with a 10-foot. Nope.
And we're efforting to get a hold of Mr. Lantani, of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, to get his take on this as we wait on a vote. But I think it's suffice to say, like, as we bring these folks in there that are on the ground, this is insights that I love to hear. That's for sure.
And it's all, I think it's particularly insightful to have folks who have been, like Steve, who have been deeply involved in this legislative process for so many years and have seen these machinations kind of rise and fall.
Oh, here we got Land Tawny.
Here comes Land.
All right. We're joined by Land Tawny. One of my great friends in the world, and a
good
lovely
man.
Human.
Good man.
A man that, a Montanan through and through, and the man that leads Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, a frequent topic on this podcast. What's up, Land?
Good. Just waiting to talk to you guys about some badass stuff, man.
Oh, my God. You're real excited. I can feel the energy in your...
Dude, it's coming out of my pores right now, man.
Bouncing. Well, tell us how you're feeling right now. We're watching. We're trying to make C-SPAN great again. It's not really working out.
Trying to make it interesting, at least.
Yeah, trying to make it interesting.
But when was it great?
Never.
I'm just curious.
Never. Are you watching the C-SPAN coverage there, Lance?
I'm not. I'm getting a text as we speak. And so, like, I don't have coverage of it, but I'm, like, living vicariously through technology. But, yeah, we're into this vote right now, right? Like, we have this awesome vote out of the Senate, 92-8, like, exclamation point on that. And now we're going through the House, and, like, we expect this thing to go well. And I think that, for me, this just signifies that, like, your voice is a – you know, your individual voice, our voices as sportsmen and women, like, they count as long as we use them.
Yeah, no, you're right. And we just had Steve Klein from TRCP on, and we were talking about, you know, some of the pros and cons of this bill. And he seemed, I mean, he wanted to sing its praises and all the work that's been done to get to this point. What are you most excited about?
I mean, I'm probably most excited about the Land and Water Conservation Fund getting permanently reauthorized. I think, you know, it's the number one access tool in this country. Like, once we get this piece done, then we can start talking about, you know, full and dedicated funding. But this idea that we're going to let this, you know, awesome fund sunset and just go away, absolutely ridiculous to me. So, you know, the American people spoke up. We've got that. I love that there's 1 million acres of wilderness in this bill. I love that there's 600 miles of protected rivers. These are places that you and I and everybody listening to this can either go to or dream about going to for the rest of our lives. So I love that. The mineral withdrawal in Yellowstone, on the Yellowstone Gateway, and also the Mettow Valley in Washington, I think is really cool. And then this idea that, you know, I think this is more of a placebo probably, but now it puts it in law that these public lands that you and I and everybody enjoys, like, it's open for hunting and fishing and shooting unless prescribed otherwise. And that's really dialed in with this bill. And so there's other things as well, but I think that's the top line for me.
Yeah, and that affirmation of hunting and fishing rights on federal lands, we just talked to Steve for quite a while about that.
Yeah.
Do you envision that coming into play at some point? Like, what's the validity of that element of this legislation?
Again, I think it's like a little bit of a placebo. Like, I think it was like that already, you know? And so this now codifies that. And so if there is an instance, I mean, there's still exceptions to that rule, right, for all sorts of things. But I think that, you know, push comes to shove on a place that should be open, I think that'll help us as we go forward.
Thanks. Yeah, you know, one thing we're trying to keep in mind here is that there's 110 pieces of legislation and that conservationists are not overwhelmingly supportive of every individual bill within this package. How much of a devil's bargain are we making here? Like, what about this act don't you like?
I mean, life's about compromise, Sam, right? Like, when you and sure I is. Hang out, and if I made you drink Cold Smoke and only Cold Smoke every single time we got together,
I probably wouldn't have a hard time with that.
Okay, well, let's choose a different beer, but you get my point. Like if I made you go do something, then we probably wouldn't be friends, right? Like, I might suggest something or whatever, but, like, it'd be a compromise. Like, that's relationships is compromise. And so when I think about this bill, ultimately it's a grand compromise. I think everybody got things they wanted. I think some land conveyances in Texas and in Alaska in particular, like, give us pause. But when we looked at the overall, like, good that this thing does, it's like, man, we got to support this thing. So, you know, this is the way life works again. And I'm so glad that Congress is actually doing work for us, and that 92-8 vote that happened in the Senate and now hopefully a good result in the House. Like, that's real stuff that we're going to have real protections, real opportunities with the Land and Water Conservation Fund going forward. So you weigh all those things, and yes, there's some of that leaves a little bit of a bad taste in your mouth, but you got to look at the benefit of the whole. And I think we get that with this bill.
Real quick to close that loop, Land, give us a grade, man. Like, F being terrible and A-plus being the best thing we could possibly got.
Well, I was never really a good student in school. I was pretty good until I got to college. But, I mean, I'd give it like an A-minus probably. And that, to me, maybe B-plus. But, like, I mean, overall, this thing is really, really good. And I think the American people should be proud of that. You know, we did a reception in D.C. A couple weeks ago. And, you know, when you have Lisa Murkowski from Alaska standing up there, and you have Senator Heinrich, so Republican and Democrat, that don't see eye to eye on many things, but they were both praising, one, the work of hunters and anglers to kind of bring this forward, but also kind of the great compromise that was struck. like that's something we should celebrate in this country. And so that's why I give it, I think, that either B plus or A minus.
O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there because they're great and they're super friendly and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. Pay attention here because this is a hell of a good service. It's called the Wellness Company. Picture this, okay? You wake up, you got a scratchy throat, you're all congested, you got a runny nose, you got a cough, whatever. And you weigh your options, like you tough it out, get sick, take time off work, try to get a doctor's appointment sometime in the next few months, wait 2 hours at urgent care and sit in a room full of six sick folks, or you open your medical emergency kit. You match your symptoms to the doctor recommended prescription and you start on the right meds right away. These medical emergency kits, not a first aid kit, all right? It comes with doctor prescribed meds to treat over 39 medical issues. So, on hand, strong antibiotics for infections of all types. Plus, a doctor's easy guide so you know exactly what to take and when. No waiting to see the doctor, no waiting at the pharmacy. It's all in there. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes. Your kit will be rushed to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/meateater, but you got to use the promo code meateater. That's promo code meateater, okay, at twc.health/meateater. Hey, everybody knows Weber grills. I've been using Weber grills my whole life, and check it out. They got a pellet grill, the Weber Searwood pellet grill. Now, with a pellet grill, you can smoke, roast, and sear, what I like to do, on the same grill. You can go from low and slow, okay, on smoke boost mode, which gives you great smoke at 180 degrees, or crank this thing all the way to a heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone, so you can put more food on the flame. This is my way of bold statement. If I was going to cook roast one way, that's how I like to do it, sear roast. Utilize the smoke boost setting to intensify that smoky flavor. Direct flame cooking creates searing, crisping, and browning. Food is going to look as good as it tastes. This grill gets hot in 15 minutes. Cleanup is easy. Cook confidently with intuitive digital controls at the grill and enjoy the sleek, easy-to-use surface. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood pellet grill.
Yeah, I'm going to back up for just a sec, Lan, and appreciate the fact that you called out the pulling of the mining rights near Yellowstone and North Cascade. That's something we have not covered yet, and as you know, that is something that is near and dear to my heart and a campaign that I worked on really hard for a couple years, so happy to see that go through.
Miles, I didn't know you were lurking. Thanks for like speaking up. These guys,
dude, I've been here the whole time, brother. I've been here the whole time, just laying in wait. And one of the other conversations that we were having was how, in many ways, I would say thanks to organizations like Backcountry Hunters Anglers and TRCP, the LWCF is on everybody's lips, at least in our small circles within the last 2 years. And I think you guys deserve a lot of credit for that. And I think that has a lot to do with why this is showing up here. But one of the concerns that we've been discussing is as fantastic as it is to permanently reauthorize the LWCF, the fact that it is not fully funded and that it requires annual appropriation gives all of us pause. And I'd love to hear you speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think let's celebrate first, right? Like, this is a major, major win. And grassroots constituencies that we've been talking to and mobilizing that you just discussed, like, we needed the win and we needed the bad. And what that win does is not only the policies that are contained within this legislation, but it's also the idea that your voice still counts, right? And like, this idea that Congress woke up one day and they're like, oh, let's go pass a public lands package, or let's permanently authorize the Land and Water Conservation Fund. That did not happen in a vacuum. And so there's a lot of education that you talked about that, you know, led to that. Then it's also action. And so now with the victory, like, we got blood in the water now, right? And I think that when we have that blood in the water, like, let's go do more, you know? And I think that momentum carries through. I have some concerns, just like you, that we have to go back and ask the appropriators every year. It's, you know, only been fully funded once. But I think the momentum is on our side now. And really, I think, you know, this is like one of those things that is really a teaching moment, not only to, you know, the grassroots, but also to those people that we elected to represent us, is that we, the people, demand this stuff, and then we're getting it. And so I think as we go forward, you know, I'll be Pollyannish a little bit and be like, man, the sky looks pretty blue to me, and that's because of what just happened. So I would say this is momentum that builds us to other things.
Yeah, thanks, Lane. Great answer to that. I love the blood in the water metaphor. yeah, we're putting out the chum slick.
Yes.
I've heard Congress framed in a lot of really negative ways. That's another one. So you're talking about, like, you know, what we can do next steps. I'd love to hear you address some of the broader public lands issues, some of the systemic issues that are leading to, you know, some people kind of putting down the system of public land, like, you know, leave it open to criticism. You know, one thing that's held up there very frequently is like wildfire funding. So, I mean, that's one, but are there any, you know, and address that if you'd like to, but what are some bigger, more systemic issues that you'd like to see Congress address now that they have that, you know, taste of blood, if you will?
Yeah. So I think the wildfire funding that you bring up, I mean, that's a fix that we got done about a year ago, and that will start to take place in 2020. So basically what that does is it solves some of the budget problems that fires cause, where it's just this huge sucking noise that every single summer we put a bunch of money into fighting fires, and then we don't have enough money to do anything else on our public lands. And so that kind of situation is being solved. At the same time, this systematic kind of defunding of our public lands, that's still an issue. And so our public land managers don't have the funds to be able to do road maintenance, be able to do habitat improvements, be able to do like wildlife studies. And so to me, I think like this should be an indication, this vote, especially in the Senate, and now moving on to the House, like it's overwhelming support for our public lands and our public waters. And so we should be investing in our public lands and waters versus starving them. And so I think, you know, the momentum now is on our side to have that conversation about care and feeding, basically the cornerstone of this outdoor economy that we all depend on, that is $887 billion, with a B, dollars every single year. So I think funding would probably be one of the main ones that I would talk about. I think that, you know, there's issues around the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. There's issues around the boundary waters in northern Minnesota. I think those are localized kind of national localized efforts of national importance. But if I thought about the overall thing, I would say that's funding. And I think now, you know, we have even more momentum behind us, and that people are recognizing that, you know, hunting and fishing and our outdoor activities aren't just something that's like, you know, that we do on our off time. That's like a way of life. And not only is it a way of life, but it's a economy. And so I think this vote, you know, and is an indication of that. And hopefully we can get some momentum to actually, you know, have better budgetary outlook than we do right now.
I think that at least from where I sit, from my perspective, and this echoes something you've said, this is at least some evidence that that momentum is building, and that some of the same lawmakers who not so very long ago were trying to pass legislation that was explicitly aggressive against public lands are now willing to sign on to something that has a lot of benefits for public lands. And to me, that is indicative of that momentum shift that you're talking about, and makes me at least feel hopeful that we will continue to pass incremental legislation that moves in a direction that we can all feel good about.
Yeah, I mean, I think Congressman Bishop, you know, Republican in the House, you know, he's the ranking member of the Natural Resources Committee, was the chair, is a perfect example of that. Like, he wanted to basically dismantle Land and Water Conservation Fund, help it pay for backlog of maintenance. And then this kind of public pressure got put on him. And so I think that's not an either-or conversation. That's an and conversation. So let's do LWCF, and let's, like, take care of this backlog of maintenance, and let's invest more in kind of just the management of our public lands. And, you know, again, that isn't – Congressman Bishop just didn't wake up one morning and was like, nah, that was a bad idea. Like, that has been tons and tons and tons of pressure that's been put on by people in his own state of Utah, but also his colleagues all around the country to do better for public lands. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of talk of, oh, maybe he's flip-flopped. Well, no, he listened to the people. And I think, you know, that should be applauded, and we should celebrate that, and then help him move, you know, on other issues as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's what you said about flip-flop. I mean, flip-flopping does exist, but in this context, when you're listening to your constituency and making sound, you know, governance choices and governance based on the people that you're representing, you can't argue against that. And, I mean, the work that you do, the work that TRCP does and other groups on behalf of public lands is super important. So, obviously, you're going to be celebrating tonight. You know, we believe this is going to pass and go to the president's desk to be signed into law. Like, what's the celebration look like for Land Tawny tonight? What kind of where are you going to be? What are you going to be doing? Is it going to be a quiet?
What's kind of cool is that we've got an event down in Ventura, California tonight at Patagonia's headquarters. And this idea of kind of bringing hunters and hikers together, like, you think about, like, all the support that has been for this public lands package, that hasn't just come from hunters and anglers. That's come from many different constituencies. And so here's an idea that we had, and now guess what? We get to celebrate that tonight, you know, and, like, we're going to be eating wild boar down here. We're going to be eating bison. We got some, like, oysters and stuff we're going to be eating. They're all sustainably harvested. Like, tonight's going to be a celebration of not only food and maybe a little bit of whiskey. I mean, it's going to be awesome to share that with a constituency that maybe sometimes looks at us hunters like a little sideways, but this is a place where we can come together. And I think, you know, ultimately that's what America is trying to find these common places. And that goes back to that conversation I was talking about with Sam and I. Like, compromise is a really important thing. And where we can find common ground, and we can dominate. And if you think about clean air, clean water, the Endangered Species Act, they got signed into law by Richard Nixon in the 70s. That was a ton of people asking him to do that. And the Republican ultimately signing those things into law. And sometimes maybe you think there's not, like, doesn't square. And so to me, tonight's going to be an awesome celebration. We'll be clinking glasses. I'll be pouring out a little liquor for you guys that aren't here. Wish I was with you guys able to celebrate, because you're all three very good men.
Well, we'll do it soon enough, I'm sure.
For sure.
Thank you, Mr. Tawny. Have fun tonight, man. And then keep it calm if you can.
Be well, brother.
Down the hatches. Here we go.
Great to hear from you, Lando.
All right, be good.
Thanks, you guys.
Land Tawny, he's a one of a kind.
Always character.
Always a character. Now we're watching right now on C-SPAN. looks like the terminating the border emergency declaration is going to pass.
I thought we weren't going to talk about that.
Well, we can't avoid it.
Okay.
Right now we're going to take a break to show kitty cat videos. So we don't have to talk about this charged issue that's going on right now. But we're waiting. So I imagine that the next thing will happen will be the vote on S-47, correct?
It's supposed to.
So the time remaining in the vote for the on the thing we're not going to talk about is 0-0-0. So that's good.
So that means 70 people are late.
Yeah, 70 people are. So we're going to.
Slackers.
Yeah, but they're also getting to a tipping point where it will pass.
So we'll be able to, hopefully here in a little bit, close this out by talking you through the real-time votes that are coming in into the C-SPAN. You know, I feel like C-SPAN should get some new graphics. What's going on there?
You think? I'm going to say this. I'm going to be frustrated tomorrow morning when I wake up and listen to and read the news as I do, because I refuse to watch television news because it's the worst thing ever.
I could agree with
but
that.
But leading the headlines is going to be this particular vote, as opposed to whatever happens on the next vote, and I'm gonna be silently frustrated about that tomorrow morning. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just goes to show you our politics are such that our media is such that we tend to dwell on certain topics that are either hot button, like this one we're not talking about, or they have a particular political lean that gets somebody where they need to go. But it's man, you know, what I think about is it's good to be in a community of people that care about this stuff, not the border emergency, not that they don't, but that care about both. Both. But they care about ecosystems and healthy wildlife and figuring it out. I mean, it's super complicated, as we've discussed here. I mean, we could go for many more hours trying to break down this bill and its minutia. But, you know, for me, at the end of the day, it's good to be a part of a community that can, you know, talk about these issues and cares about them and look pragmatically at what they can do for us. And, you know, the breaking news tomorrow in the hunting industry will be this, and the fishing industry will be this. And I'm proud of that, because I think that shows that we're, you know, that we really do care and call ourselves conservationists because of the money that we are forced to spend on tags and in Pittman-Robertson tax, excise tax.
The money we gladly spend.
Yeah, we gladly send. I mean, we don't have a choice, but we do have a choice to care about this stuff and talk about it. And people have a choice to listen to this and be propelled to action next time something comes up that they can, you know, they can have an effect on. So I think that's, as much as maybe on this podcast particularly we beat on folks for, you know, just because you go hunting doesn't mean that you're an agent of conservation. This just being interested in this and trying to understand it, I think, is a great exercise.
I think it's absolutely a great exercise. I also think that, as we all saw trying to read through the provisions of this bill line by line, it can be mind-numbing and it can be incredibly difficult. And for folks who are busy with jobs and kids and trying to get outside, reading all the pertinent legislation, it's just not really feasible.
No.
You can't actually read all those lines. I mean, even the people who are voting on them don't.
Yeah.
But what you can do is you can find a variety of different trusted outlets for your information, and you can get differing perspectives and make up your mind independently. And to me, that's the most important thing to do, rather than just finding one siloed area who you choose to trust, looking at a number of different perspectives and then drawing your own conclusions about what's being voted on.
Yeah, and I look at that as, you know, my most important role as a journalist and a writer for Meat Eater, and you guys too, that's what we try to do all day, every day, is frame these things such that everyone listening, everyone in our audience can become informed and know which elements matter to hunting and fishing and the things we love.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. You know, I think it's in all aspects of this that it's impossible for someone. I mean, you'd have to spend all of your waking hours that you have devoted to free time to understand this bill, or to understand. We were talking about this the other day around the media coverage of like trophy hunting scandals. It's impossible to gain perspective on what's good for a Pakistani village or a village in Africa and in Botswana when it comes to elephants. But it isn't impossible to pick up the newspaper or click on CNN or NBC and read some version of some, and a lot often sensationalized version of these events. And it's up to all of us to be just discerning and to look at things through a critical lens, man. And this is just another one of those examples. Like, and we're lucky to be in a, you know, I walk into here, when we started Media Incorporated, it was like my vision that we would have a bunch of smart individuals in a room, and when something happened, we would able to have a conversation about it, determine how we wanted to help educate people, and here we are doing it. So, I mean, I think for me, this is, you know, a culmination of something. I've been in the industry for 10 years and haven't ever felt, you know, like I feel now with you group of guys trying to figure this stuff out.
It's, absolutely,
it's,
man.
It's important, and it's enlightening, man, to do it. So,
I mean, I've spent my career writing in the outdoor space, and the fact that we have the number of resources and the amount of brain power we have in the same room here to be able to talk about it is invaluable. And I think that folks at home should know it's not just like we all walk in and we all agree on every point and everything's hunky-dory. Like, we have to work through it, and we disagree and we argue, and in a healthy and respectful way, which I think is something that's sorely missing in a lot of our dialogue at large right now. But we have that. We're lucky enough to have that at the place where we work and have it be encouraged. And I think that everybody who's listening to this is getting to benefit from that.
Yeah, and I think at some point, you know, we can all hope to be a part of a group of people or a friend group or, you know, a community that acts in that way. Like we can always call out the parts of our society that don't quite function like the way we'd want them. The government being one, we're watching now on C-SPAN, we're watching them function, and the media being another. Neither of those function.
Is this functioning that the House of Representatives is telling the president that he can't do something that he really wants?
I mean, that is a form of functioning.
That is a form of functioning, but it is also a form of fighting.
It looks like they're getting ready to get it on here.
And as we kind of lead up to this vote, I think that as cynical as I may be about, well, any legislation, really, because as we talked about, they're all a little bit complicated. Man, every time I have a conversation with Lantani, I come out of it feeling like the world's a better place and everything's going to be good.
We did it. Yeah.
And to his point that this represents the power that folks have to change legislation. It was not that long ago that, as he brought up, Representative Bishop was supporting legislation to dismantle public lands as we know them.
Yeah.
And now we've got him supporting this bill. It may not be perfect, but that is a sea change in perspective. And that really does speak to what you all have done and we have done in terms of changing the national conversation.
Yeah, so vote is ongoing. The gavel has been is banged down, and we have a five-minute vote. It's banged down. That's probably not the right way to say that. That's not even close. But the vote is going on in the terrible 1985 graphics that CNN puts up. It says this needs a two-thirds majority to pass.
And it's already at 164 to 12.
Yeah, 164 to 12 is looking good. We got about 4 minutes left, 109. So the ticker is looking good.
We have 227 votes remaining.
Yeah, it's looking good for the two-thirds. As we figured, you know, when it passes 92-8 in the Senate, and again, as Steve was saying, the reason that they're doing this, pass this under suspension is because they don't want it to change, because it was such a rousing victory for it in the Senate. There would be so much work to have to do to turn the clock back and go back and work on this again.
But yet, I did hear and read some conservation organizations encouraging amendment to the package in the House. I think pretty broadly everyone would tell them to shut up and, like, let's get this done, go back and fix it later, get something done. Yeah.
Well, right. And I mean, the point here, and Land makes it, and Steve made it well, is and hopefully the point folks can take away, is like, you're not going to get everything you want. I like Land giving it an A-minus just because it gets us on a path where these things become important, and, you know, the speed with which this moved through Congress is great news. And right now we're at 298 to 26.
I think that's two thirds.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's already two thirds.
It's passed.
With 2 minutes to go. Only 27 Republicans.
Only 3 minutes.
So we'll break it down. There's 29 Republicans that have thrown in the nay, and 317 total yays. That's 198. Democratic yays and
119 Republican.
119, which, you know, 120 to 31 as far as the Republican votes on this go. And then historically, we know that, you know, the bulk of the land transfer advocates come from that side of the aisle. So, I mean, this is a freaking rousing victory for folks that care about these issues. I mean, it just really is. We probably spent, you know, it's our kind of our jobs. We wanted to spend some time beating on it a while before it passed, which, you know, makes me feel good about the way we're able to approach these things. But in the end of the day, I mean, when something passes, what's this going to be, man? Like 400 to 50, something like that.
Looking like it.
That's looking like it. So, I mean, that's huge. And hopefully, Mr. President Trump, I mean, there's like almost no way he wouldn't sign this into law at this point.
He hasn't vetoed anything yet in his presidency.
Yeah,
I think he's about to if this resolution.
We're not talking about that. We're not talking about that. That didn't even happen. But yeah, I mean, you know, with a minute remaining in this.
It's passed.
It's passed. I mean, that, and so, you know, we've heard about what it means. We've now been able to live comment on it. I mean, it really strikes me that C-SPAN just can't update their, you know, update their graphics.
Nobody's watching it anyway.
Do you want like a little dancing puppy in the corner?
What I would like to see some sort of like an eagle might fly by the, on the screen. Like that's what Fox News would do.
Like the Colbert Show.
Yeah, fireworks.
Fox News would do that.
Oh man, the Colbert Show graphics back in the
back
day.
The best. The best.
I think the point of C-SPAN is to not be entertaining, though.
That's like, true.
I think it's sort of counter to their rhetorical intention to try and sexy it up.
I would like to see that, like a poop gif or something in there, like the smiling poop emoji, something just to let us know that they have a little sense of humor.
Well, I mean, on some level, I think members of Congress aren't looking for any extra level of scrutiny on what they're doing.
Think it's a funding issue? They're like, let's not fund C-SPAN anymore because it might be more interesting.
I'm just saying, like, they don't need more cooks in the kitchen. They don't need people always breathing down the back of their necks, although they already are. But I think it's deliberately boring.
Yep. 3:59 to 57, boys. Where time is out. Time is up. Only 16
no votes.
No votes there. That's. Again, an amazing, for where we stand, for there to be 57 nays from the Republican side, zero nays from a Democratic side, and, you know, the percentage of yays, I mean, there's 136 Republicans that vote in it. Like, as a radical centrist myself, I like examples of bipartisanship in our government, and this
Amen.
Is one of them. Any concluding thoughts there, Miles?
Yeah, I mean, my conclusions on this one would be that I think we all should, those of us who agree with this anyway, agree with conservation, pour ourselves maybe a short drink for this one tonight and enjoy it. But I think if there's a takeaway here, it's that we as hunters and anglers and sportsmen and outdoorsmen can have a voice that's heard. And we are seeing evidence of that, where for a lot of years I felt like we weren't, and we now are. So let's take advantage of that. Everybody who's listened to this, stay on top of these issues. Continue to talk to your representatives, because it is obviously having an impact.
Yeah.
And this is a great win, but this is just a moment to double down on what we're doing well, not to step away from it. So I hope that everybody who's hearing this and who cares about these issues is going to be continually engaged and step up their efforts.
Yeah, and to just piggyback off of this, off of what Miles just said, many of these votes were cast because they were told by their constituents to cast that vote. And now is not the time to really let the foot off the gas pedal. This does not solve everything. Call again, send another email. Thank you, representatives and your senators, for how they voted on this issue. But in the next breath, encourage them to keep it moving, to get full funding for a land water conservation fund, to pass more wilderness bills that are still pending. There's more wild and scenic rivers that need to be designated as wild and scenic. And, we have not solved all the problems and are, so please reach out to your representatives, thank them, but also tell them what you'd like to see done in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll close it out by with another challenge. And I think, as we look at this vote, as I look at this vote as kind of like a numerical expression of our government, like, and the bipartisan nature of what can be done. Those of you that are listening to this that lean Republican and might want to, label what we're talking about here as like some green decoy hand-wringing about these important issues. Step back a minute and look at this vote and look at, Rob Bishop standing up there and look at the way that he was able to be a part of this legislation. And maybe don't listen to the heretics out there that are name-calling and trying to attach motive to, the things we say or the things anyone might say in support of public lands, clean water,
healthy
habitat, those types of things. As a community, like, our power is in not that we always have to agree, but our power comes from being able to leave room for these kinds of wins and not beat each other down when those things happen. I can tell you, that we all, like I say, I see myself as in the center of the conversation, and if people that I know and trust say it's a win, then I count it as a win. And much the same as if we were talking about a gun rights bill that we all believed in the same way. So I think let's not, in thinking about this in a postmortem, let's not get swept up in any of that bullshit. Let's see this for what it is. And like Miles said, move on and do more. Things that we can all agree on. That's it. Thanks for listening. Hopefully all the call and stuff sounds great and everything came out good. I'm happy to have had this conversation. Thank you, boys.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ben.
That's it. That's all. Another episode in the books. This time, it was an idea, I think, that Miles had to sit down and, you know, podcast while we watched the coverage. One, because we thought it would be fun to comment on what's happening on a C-SPAN broadcast, but also because we know this is important. We want to get this out to you. Of course, we did, and Sam has and will continue to cover this for themeateater.com in our editorial section. But we wanted to get you a podcast with some guests and some real-time reaction as it happened, even though you'll be listening to this a few days after. This is an important conversation. Again, something we care deeply about, something we hope we can get right as individuals and as a collective community, and something we'll continue to talk about, examine as fairly as possible. And if we disagree with someone at BHA, or we disagree with someone at TRCP or anyone else in our world, we'll let them know. But in this case, I think this could be called a resounding win in many ways for people who care about wild places and wildlands, which we do. So, once again, thanks for joining us. Thanks for sticking in. Come back Tuesday for a regular episode of the show where I'll be joined by one Shane Mahoney this coming Tuesday. You're going to want to listen to that. See you next time on The Hunting Collective.
Hey, everybody knows Weber grills. I've been using Weber grills my whole life, and check it out. They got a pellet grill, the Weber Searwood pellet grill. Now, with a pellet grill, you can smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. You can go from low and slow, okay, on smoke boost mode, or crank this thing all the way to a heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone, so you can put more food on the flame. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood pellet grill. You ever get that feeling? The walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating you? You crave some wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe in a spot all your own. Well, head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, streams, you name it. Search by acreage. You can search by location. You can search by the kind of hunting and fishing you're dreaming of. Land.com. It is where the adventure begins.